Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week recapping the week that was in WWE. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, and the new advocate for the rapidly improving Miss Parker, Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on The Wrap the one and only Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Me and Mrs. Parker go way back. I just wanted to reintroduce myself and align myself with the stars, and she is going to be one for sure. But, I'm excited about the conversation, excited to talk about the about France, what they brought to the table, and then excited to talk about the card we got for Raw. So it's going to be a big, good, fun show.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to talk about WWE Backlash going down this past Saturday in Lyon, France. And, of course, Monday Night Raw going down live in Hartford, Connecticut as we kick off the 2024 King and Queen of the Ring tournament. But I have to catch myself, Scott, because I almost said Von Wagner's name. And I feel so bad because I no longer will call him your client on this show.
Yeah, that's okay. He was a true day one guy. Even Jey Uso would have been proud. but all good things must come to an end. Big Daddy V had a nice run. They did improve a lot, but time to move on. And I'm on the Miss Parker. And I don't think I have to worry about any of the little guys coming after me, okay, in the front yard.
Well, that is good to know. And I appreciate the fact that you've given her the franchise of Red Lobsters for right now. It's very early in her career, and you're entrusting her with this incredible responsibility. So, Miss Parker, make us proud as we get to something that went down last week in WWE on the outside as we continue to cover what's been going on with the Janelle Grant case against WWE and how one John Laurinaitis decided to say, well, actually, I am not a victim. Therefore, I'm going to team up with my old boss, Vince McMahon, once again to try to drag the name of Janelle Grant in a court of law. So John Laurinaitis, he found his cowardly stripes once again, has joined in with Vince McMahon once again. And all I have to say is I am not surprised, because a dirtbag is going to do what a dirtbag is going to do.
Yeah, I'm sure the Garcia family probably smartened up and kicked him to the curb, so he's got nowhere else to go except back crawling back to Daddy. And Daddy made him do what Daddy does when he's on his knees. And he was like, all right, I'll do it. So that's what we got going on over here in this side of the world. So the two weirdos are back together doing their little circus act. And unfortunately, we have to keep talking about this because, until that gets taken care of and that gets resolved, there will continue to be a dark cloud. And I think this just goes to show, we already knew everybody knows about Vince McMahon and everybody knows about John Laurinaitis. But I think now, even the Laurinaitis, even the WWE like fanatics are like, yeah, the John Laurinaitis thing. He is, I mean, what are we doing? Like, and now you're trying to team back up with the guy you just threw under the bus. Like, come on, man. So once we get rid of all this and have a nice cleanse, flush it down the toilet, we'll be good to go.
Yes, for sure. But I also have to call out someone during another press conference. Once again, it was a post-backlash press conference going down live on Peacock and, of course, on YouTube via WWE. And I have to call out once again Paul Levesque, because when people ask you a question, even if it comes from a place of confusion, the flippant responses, they kind of have to stop at this point. If someone makes an allegation against a talent, it's just best to confront it head on, because someone within your company is obviously telling media outlets and professional wrestling as to what's going on. So you got leaks in your camp who are spilling tea about the Drew Gulak Ronda Rousey situation, and Drew Gulak's contract has been expired. It's not going to be renewed. And the Ronda Rousey situation is a sticking point into that, along with his really weird practices in NXT targeting injuries from rookies. And the rookies was kind of scared to say something until recently. And I read the Fightful Select report that Shawn Michaels reprimanded him about him being a bully as a trainer. So all of this was culminating in his release from WWE. But I think it's now time for Paul Levesque in this position of power to be the public face of this company, that you go out there in front of the audience and you get these pops and you get this cheer and ovation from the crowd. But when it's time to answer some serious questions, he tends to be a little flippant, arrogant, and acting like an asshole. I'm going to be very frank in saying that when you get questions like this, you need to answer them as seriously as you can. And if someone asks you a question, please be as forthcoming as possible. And if you say someone's contract is going to be renewed, that needs to be a follow-up. Why is that? Can you go into those details? Because obviously somebody is telling somebody something about this, and here you are on a public forum once again acting like an ass when these questions are brought up to you.
So I don't know. I mean he's always been like this, though. This isn't like a new side of Triple H or anything. He's always been a dickhead. I guess that's just him. So this doesn't surprise me as far as him and kind of the friction he has with the wrestling media. I mean, I get it. I get both sides of it. Should he be a little bit, you know, not take it out on all of it? Yeah, but at the same time, you know, he's just like, you know, the out, because there's a lot of false information that's out there too, you know, a lot of factual. So, but there's a lot of just stuff being put out there that, you know, news, like the good sites that, you know, have done their due diligence, even those sites are like, this is BS. So in his mind, he's just like, I'll just nip it all in the bud at once and just lump it all together. Is that the right thing to do? No, but it was in his mind, it was probably the quickest way to just go about it and move on. But as far as the Drew Gulak thing, I mean, nobody will miss him. So it's not like anything's hurting with that. And, you know, again, if all this stuff that comes out about it, you know, it's more of a good riddance thing. But as far as Triple H goes, he's been like this. This ain't nothing new. He's been like this since he was a wrestler. He was like that when he stopped wrestling. He's had a brief period, but right before he, you know, kicked death in the, you know, in the tail and kept moving, where he was like, yeah, you know, I'm back. But now he's just, this is who he is.
Just slight media training one-on-one. That's all I ask. Just not be so dismissive. Because considering the lawsuit that's hanging over the company's head right now, you do want to be a little bit more, I don't know, forthcoming and a bit more accommodating to the press that you invite to these press conferences, by the way, to get some sometimes serious questions along with the softballs. Just be a bit more delicate and a bit more understanding. That's all that I ask. Will I get it? I do not know. But unfortunately, if he keeps doing this, we're going to keep talking about it because he just keeps digging a hole deeper and deeper for himself. And that's not a good look because he wants to go out there for the applause. But when it's time to kind of take some accountability and answer the tough questions, he wants to catch an attitude. And you can't have it both ways because you are the public face in every way. You just cannot be out there for the applause. You also got to be out there to answer some tough questions as well to the very best of your ability in a bit more of a professional manner. But I digress on that as we get into the Backlash review, which went down live in Lyon, France this past Saturday on Peacock, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern. It was around 10 a.m. Pacific time on the West Coast and the show aired. And I got to say that we got a taste of how incredible the French crowd was going to be via the SmackDown show the night before. Their enthusiasm and their reactions to everything was fantastic. But seeing it live, wow, that crowd will go down as one of the greatest WWE crowds of all time. It was very reminiscent to what we got last year in Puerto Rico for Backlash as well. So running international Backlash events back to back in two different countries, it's been a serve. The energy is everything, and it puts the American crowds to shame. Like, this enthusiasm is everything. It keeps you alert. It keeps you excited for the entire show. And this crowd, for me, was the true MVP of Backlash in France this past Saturday.
Yeah, this definitely was one of the best crowds they've ever had. This was a throwback to the quote-unquote Bizarro Land crowds. They were on fire for everything, gave great reactions. The two count song started to get a bit much, but everything else I thought was real good. They added a whole lot to a lot of the entrances, made a lot of these wrestlers just feel larger than life. And Backlash, the WrestleMania after, or the pay-per-view after WrestleMania, has certainly become a destination spot for those international crowds.
Definitely. I like that vibe a lot. And Backlash is re-earning the reputation of being that go-to event after WrestleMania. That was the case, especially during the early 2000s. The name was retired for a few years, brought back, then retired again. I brought back recently. And I think the last two editions have been a really great way to kind of kick off the post-WrestleMania season. And I think it was a sneaky card by WWE as well, because I think that I wasn't going into the show with a lot of excitement. But until I saw the crowd the night before on SmackDown, I kind of felt like, oh, they're definitely going to push this show over the top. And the matches themselves, for the most part, definitely lived up to expectations, exceeded them in some cases. And this crowd definitely provided a lift along the way. I love the setup. Very rowdy crowd as we kick things off with a tag team match involving the New Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. And KO got an amazing reception from the crowd. But then this rowdy French crowd serenaded Randy Orton by singing Voices. And he was really touched by that the night before on SmackDown, and even more so during his in-ring entrance here.
Yeah, this would be kind of a precursor of the night. But, babyface is soaking in the moment. Great entrance. Felt like superstars. Randy Orton kind of, never know if he might come back again. So this definitely felt like we're going to embrace you and really serenade this moment for you.
Yes. And then we had it be on site with both teams brawling outside the ring. We had officials trying to break things up to maintain the peace. We had Kevin Owens sunning the security guards at one point and producers, but eventually we had Nick Aldis come out there and say, oh, you don't want to follow the rules, you want to fight. Well, let's make this a street fight. No rules, no disqualification, no count out, anything goes. You go out there and do your thing in a street fight. And we got that. We had both teams brawl through the crowd. I really love the energy of this match. The fans were all into the action, bruising battles for both guys. And Kevin Owens and Randy Orton as they took it to Solo and Tama Tonga. But it came down to the heels dominating midway through this match, slowing down the pace a bit. But a highlight for me was Kevin Owens setting up these chairs in the center of the ring and hitting Tama Tonga with them, and then delivering a brainbuster through those chairs. A sick bump. Loved it. We had Solo and Randy going back and forth as well. But then we got a distraction from yet another member of the bloodline that I don't think anybody saw coming. We had no idea this person's contract was due in New Japan, but apparently Tama Tonga got some help in the form of who, Scott, as I toss it to you.
Yeah, Tongaloa shows up, pulls the referee out, and we got the Gorillas of Destiny. They're here, G-O-D. Hopefully the music comes too. You know, nothing to get too excited about. It'll be a fine tag team to add to Solo. You know, good addition to the tag division. He throws a lot of airbender punches, you know, that involve a lot of the wind actually hitting you instead of him hitting you, but that's okay. Like I said, it'll be fine. It's not Fatu like everybody was waiting for, but it does add another chapter to the story.
Definitely. And we found out that Paul Heyman was the one that made the call to pull Roman Reigns. In fact, he has not talked to Roman since WrestleMania. So he's basically leading this new bloodline unwillingly. There is basically Solo running this right now. And Paul is traumatized when they beat down the baby faces. He was forcefully raising that one up to say, I'm in this, but I don't feel like I want to be a part of this. And then we had that brief interaction with Jey Uso backstage prior to his World Heavyweight Championship match against Damian Priest. And it was the look of help me, please. These guys are crazy. I miss the old bloodline with you and your brother, Jimmy and Roman. Those were the good old days. This right now, this is horrifying. I'm scared. Please rescue me. And that is definitely leading to something down the road, possibly later this year with Roman and the Usos reconciling and trying to reform the original bloodline versus the Wolfpack bloodline we got right now with Solo running things, with Paul being there as an unwilling participant. And what I loved about this match the most was Paul's muted reactions at ringside. He wasn't animated. He just stood there stoically watching Tama Tonga and Solo do work, but he was like not celebrating the moments they had offense. He was like, whatever, I am not really feeling this, but I'm here so I won't die, basically.
Yeah, the match was real good, high energy. Paul Heyman's always been great at the facials. That top rope suplex through the or Kevin Owens' signature suplex he does when somebody tries to superplex him from the top rope through those chairs was a nasty spot. You know, Paul Heyman being the guy to call off the dogs essentially on the beatdown on Kevin Owens could end up being very telling down the line, and could have been very specific that it was KO who he ended up protecting, because I think that fourth member, whenever Fatu does, because I can see this being a Survivor Series, possibly War Games, like you said, Bloodline versus Bloodline, Roman, Usos, and their fourth, because I think it'll be Solo, G.O.D., and Jacob Fatu. But for Roman and them, their fourth, I think they would have to go back to the, you got to go back to old boy, the homie, the original, Sami Zayn. I think so. Paul Heyman being the guy to tell them to stop fighting KO. And because if it's got to be either Sami Zayn or Seth Rollins. It's got to be a brother that Roman has had before that he could call into his bloodline. So it's definitely going to be one of those two. So I could see him protecting Kevin Owens coming back down the line to help them recruit Sami Zayn back into the group.
That is definitely a possibility. I see it definitely going two ways as well, with Sami or Seth being a part of the bloodline. The honorary ooze is still a very live thing. I would love to see that reunion. I think that would get a whole lot of pops and love from the crowd, but also Seth Rollins possibly being Roman's brother in arms once again after what they've been through in the Shield and afterwards as well, because basically Seth in a lot of ways built the beast that is Roman Reigns as the tribal chief all these years ago. So either directions is a good one, and I'm looking forward to how it all plays out, presumably at Survivor Series. That is going to be the leading direction heading into the fall for sure. Whenever Roman returns, and that pop based on the chant of "We want Roman," that is going to be a moment as well when he comes back as a full fledged babyface.
Yeah, it's going to be top tier. 3¾ bloodline members for this one.
I concur. Definitely agree. They're going to have so many members of this family that we're going to lose count eventually. But I agree with your assessment. Three. Did you say three and three quarter bloodlines?
Yeah, three and three quarter.
Okay, three and three quarters. I gotcha. As we get to our next match, it is for the WWE Women's Championship. It is Bayley, the champion, versus Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. As we talked about earlier, the crowd elevates entrances, and they definitely elevated Naomi's. I love the glow. I love the effect. They were into the theme music, which is catchy. It's grown on me as of late. This match was very good. Tiffany Stratton, my goodness, she continues to be a standout. Once again, like, she is going to be one of the greats when it's all said and done. She's only been in this game for over 2.5 years, and she's learned so much. She's not intimidated by the big stage. She's here and present for every moment. Love the handsprings to both Naomi and Bayley at numerous points. A nice blockbuster by Naomi to Bayley on the floor from the barricade at one point as well. And of course, the heat seeker from Naomi to Tiffany as well. Bayley had great moments as well. But Tiffany, to me, was a highlight. She was there for every spot. The crowd was with her. But everybody got a chance to shine. Bayley was over. Naomi was over. Tiffany was over. This was a well-put-together match, and it ended up with Tiffany going for the prettiest moonsault ever on both ladies. Once again, they roll out the way and do a 1D on Tiffany out of nowhere. And then it comes down to a strike battle between Bayley and Naomi. And then Bayley rolls up Naomi for the 1-2-3. It's a good victory. They piece it up and say there's all love here. And that's how it ends. Bayley stands tall, but overall, really strong match. Great effort by all three ladies, but Tiffany Stratton definitely is the future of this women's division, and she could be the champion by the time the year is over.
Yeah, this was a really good women's match. Tiffy time is coming for sure. Great entrances. Bayley working her way as a babyface. Even little things like when they were chanting Tiffy time, Bayley was like, yeah, Tiffy time is about to end, though. So it's just the little things. I enjoyed the match a lot. And I'm glad that Naomi took the pin. I liked the finish when Bayley did get the roll up. When, you know, it got to the 1-2, she grabbed onto that back foot with her second hand. Mm-hmm. So she had two arms on both legs. So that was a nice touch for the 3 count. I like little things like that. I'm gonna go with 3.5 moonsaults on this one, because we know Bailey's only gonna give about half of a moonsault if she did do one. So I'm gonna do 3.5 moonsaults.
Fair score. 3.5 moonsaults works for me as well. Great effort by all three ladies. Really enjoyed this match. Probably my second favorite match for the night, I have to say. Really good effort by everybody involved. As we get to our next match, which was main event Jey Uso versus Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship. This entrance for Jey Uso, my goodness, the French fan says, you know what we was missing with Jey's entrance? We was missing the flashlights with our phones. We can bop up and down to the theme song, like the atmosphere, how it was shot. It was just perfect. And this match, you know, I did not have a lot of high expectations going in, but it kind of came through in the end. The fans were with Jey. They love him. Damian Priest has great presence as champion. Things started off a little slow, but I love the strikes and kicks throughout the match with interference courtesy of JD McDonagh and Finn Balor. And that was help that Damian Priest did not want. He made it very clear that he did not want any help during this championship match, and neither one of his Judgment Day members listened to him, and that gave a window of opportunity to Jey to land a spear, go for the frog splash. Damian Priest kicks out, goes for South of Heaven, and Jey kicks out of that, and the crowd goes crazy thinking there's a possibility of a title change, but it's not meant to be, as Damian Priest goes for an avalanche South of Heaven for the 1-2-3 to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Really good match down the stretch, and a little bit of tension between Judgment Day as he shoved Finn Balor, as in Damian Priest shoved Finn, like, why are you in my business? Why did you not listen to what I had to tell you backstage that I didn't want your help during this championship match? They kind of patched things up during Monday Night Raw, but this is a clear sign that the fractures in Judgment Day are showing in various ways. And I think sometime very soon, possibly at Clash of the Castle, if it is going to be McIntyre versus Damian Priest, I do feel as if Finn Balor will cost Priest the championship by the end of the day.
Yeah, this I actually really enjoyed this match. I thought out of Jey Uso's title matches, this is this has probably been his best one, I think. I thought that definitely the crowd elevated it. And I just thought that there was actually a sense of he might be able to pull this off, especially when he kicked out of the first choke slam. So, yeah, I enjoyed it probably more than most did. I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to give it 3.5 super kicks. And Jey Uso is absolutely a vibe. He's got arguably the best entrance in wrestling. I'm sure there are some that you can make the argument for, but you're not going to see as many as visually pleasing as well as going to get you out your chair, have you throwing your hands up. I mean, that was to have the crowd singing it like that too. It's he a vibe, man. Like he is absolutely a vibe. And I do think, you know, I know we're getting the Uso reunion, but I do think it's a missed opportunity if he doesn't get some singles gold at some point before that reunion happens.
I agree. He needs a singles championship run before he reunites with his brother, Jimmy. This guy is so popular, and we make jokes about the theme song all the time. It's so simplistic, but I keep saying it's catchy as hell. The beat drops, the fans are with it. The French crowd was able to elevate that theme song even more, which is simply incredible. And he is so over and beloved. There's something about Jey that just stands out, and he's coming to his own in the last 4 or so years to be a dynamic character and a great promo. My only caveat is stop relying so much on Yeet to get the pops, because what brought us to the dance was his emotion and his ability to grab us with his promos. And when he's able to go in emotionally and hit those notes, he's perfection. So I just kind of want him to hit the sweet spot and not rely so much on the Yeet as a gimmick and be more himself, because that is what people love about Jey when he's authentically him. And with that entrance on Saturday, I felt that, like, give this guy a singles title run before you reunite the Usos and ultimately the bloodline with Roman Reigns leading his cousins to battle, possibly a Survivor Series.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as Damian Priest, real good title defense. I think he's going to be a solid transitional champion until we get the belt onto either Drew McIntyre or CM Punk, whatever the final destination for that is.
Yes. And do you sense that Finn is going to do something to Damian Priest eventually?
Not after Raw. After Raw, I don't think it's going to be Finn that causes the loss. But I do think it could be Finn that initiates the, he lost and now he's still giving us orders. Yeah, we're not doing that. we're not doing that now. You know, you as champion is one thing, but you lost and we're not doing that. So I don't think after Raw, I don't think he causes the loss, but I definitely think he is the catalyst after the loss.
Definitely, I sense that too, because if he ain't got a championship in Damian Priest, they ain't gonna be listening to you. There is gonna be no leader in Judgment Day that's gonna be you at the end of the day, because they don't take orders to someone that is not carrying the gold at the time. But we shall see how it all goes down the road heading into the next couple of PLEs as we transition to the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match involving Damage Control's Kairi Sane and Asuka, the Kabuki Warriors, versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. This match was good in spots. Love Bianca Belair as always. Jay Cargill always impresses. But I will say that at some point, everybody forgot what they were supposed to be doing, because Kairi forgot that she was not the legal person in the match. The referee stopped things. Time stopped for a while. And it was just a bundle of confusion. The match halted and the momentum just stopped. And I was like, okay. And then I'm looking at Jade and her selling. I'm thinking, like, this is her longest match to date. And she looked a little tired. Like, this is the trenches now. This is WWE. It's not going to be a 5-minute sprint. These are going to be possibly 15, 20-minute matches you got to be in. You got to pace yourself. get into the trenches. You kind of came through in the clutch with that outstanding catch of Kairi Sane to transition to Jaded as Bianca Belair hits the KOD on Asuka, as they are now the new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Bianca Belair is now a Triple Crown Champion. Congrats to her. And Jade, congrats to her as well, winning her first major championship in WWE 5 months into the gig in the ring. But good match. It kind of went off the rails a bit due to a lot of miscommunication, but it came through together in the end when it counted most.
Yeah, they I don't even know what to compare them to, because I was gonna say that's like the female Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, but how sacrilegious of me to call Jade and Bianca the Hulk Hogan of anything. That's just what they look like. They're like, those two together it's a sight. Jade had a nice springboard double cross body. That was real pretty. The finish was nice, but like you said, somebody definitely hit the pause button and grabbed Adam Sandler's remote from Click. And, we definitely stuck for a minute which is surprising with Asuka and Kairi Sane out there. But, they got it back on track real quick. They got it back together. And I don't even know what their name is going to be. I don't know what the Storm S. I'm not a big fan of that. But whatever they decide to call themselves, they are going to be a unit and a force to be reckoned with. It's going to take something serious to take the titles from them too. I'm going to give this two and three quarter six packs.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
Wow, because they are just stunning together. They work great as a team. I love how they interact together behind the scenes. I love what they do in the press conferences. They are a joy to watch together as a tag team, and you can feel that respect and love between them. And I am waiting for doom. It is going to come one day when Jay turns on Bianca Belair. It's going to be a moment. And it's going to be sad, but the payoff down the road is going to be so worth it. But I am very happy that they won the tag team titles. Great moment for both ladies. And they are a force. I mean, the bodies on them are just ridiculous. Like, the things they can do in the ring are so cool. And Jade is really going to get better the more that she gets reps in the ring. And I just feel like this is just the tip of the iceberg of what's going to be a great run for her in WWE. Just got to get the reps in and keep improving. But everything that she does mostly hits. And every time she's in the ring, she does something a bit new. And that springboard crossbody was new, and it was very, very good. And of course, the Jaded finisher, the transition and the power and the strength, that was everything to lead to the finish of this match.
Yeah. And, hopefully there's going to be some more teams to work with. you know, when they eventually work with the Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler, I think that'll be a good match. Even the Tegan Knox, Natalya, that's a good match that they can have. So there's good matches to be had. There's women out there who they can have these good matches with. So I look forward to seeing what they do. This is a good opportunity for Jade to work with a lot of different women, a lot of different styles, a lot of different hard-hitting women, while still getting the reps and being able to work some of these longer matches.
Yes, and give me Casey and JoJo as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Yes. Can I believe I called them that in honor of you? Katana Chance and Kaden Carter.
That's so, who they are, though.
I mean, they are.
It's as crazy as it sounds. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yes. Okay, I caught that at the last minute, and I appreciate it as we now get to our main event, which is Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, and the undisputed WWE Champion versus the challenger, the phenomenal AJ Styles, two George boys main eventing the show. And I got to say, this was an excellent professional wrestling match. Both guys went out there and put on a wrestling clinic. The fans were just going out of their minds during this main event. Both guys were really over. The French crowd loves Cody. Sung his song as well. I mean, even when the music went off, they were still singing. It was everything. Match itself was just a nice bruising back and forth battle between two guys who've never touched before until now. And they really put in a great match. AJ Styles, I've heard the rumblings online. Does he still have it? He still got it. This dude can still work at a very high level. And Cody, his first title defense as champion, excellent. Both guys went out there, put on a show, and Cody hits Crossroads on Styles to get the 1-2-3. Love the match. Love the energy. Really strong PLE by WWE. Going in on paper, it wasn't looking anything special, but when you add the crowd and the work rate, this was a very, very strong PLE for WWE to bounce back from a very remarkable WrestleMania last month.
Yeah, I thought this was a great match. The crowd singing Cody's song. When especially right before the introductions where they sang the rest of his chorus for him, no music, a cappella. Shout out to Jericho. No lyrics handed out. And you know, it's just a great vibe all around. They gave AJ love. Somebody pointed out online that AJ wore the same colors he wore when he faced Dusty Rhodes for the NWA title. So that was a nice callback right there. As far as the match goes, like I said, I thought it was a great match. I saw some, I don't know if it's nitpicking, if it's hating or what it was, but a lot of pushback on the burning hammer spot, and Cody kicks out at one and fires up. And, you know, to me, especially with WWE, because they don't do a lot of moves like that. This brought me back to when CM Punk hit John Cena with that pile driver. When they had that match on Raw to face The Rock for the WWE title, and he hit the pile driver, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, he hit a pile driver!" Because nobody's, you know, you didn't expect it, and when it kicked out, he got a great reaction. Same thing here, except they probably did see that spot and was like, "Yo, that's a good spot. Let's add that in there to the burning hammer." Because nobody's going to see that move coming. They're going to expect a long two count, and you kick out at one and fire. Like it's a good idea, and so what if they did see that match and was like, "Oh man, that's a great spot. Let's throw that in our match." So what? What is wrong with that? Isn't that? I mean, that's all wrestling is. All wrestling is taking moments that you've seen and recreating them with your own spin in your own match. That's all it is. That one count kickout has happened before. Like, it's not like that was the first time it's happened. So I just don't understand the pushback on it, you know, especially since it worked. It fit the match. The crowd fired up. Cody hit a nice Cody cutter and the crowd got right behind it. I could tell you when I was watching it with my kids, especially since it came on in the middle of the day, and they both love Cody, when he hit that move, you know, they were both like, "Oh," and then Cody got up at one and just went crazy, and they went crazy. Like that, and that's the reaction that you want. So I don't get the pushback. I thought the match was great. I thought the crowd was right with them. For me, I four and a half crossroads on this one for me.
I agree. Really strong championship match. The Burning Hammer spot was crazy, but I also love the fire up by Cody. Like, he says, no, fuck your Burning Hammer. I am going to get back up here. I'm fired up. Let's go. The crowd popped for it. So in the moment and in the arena, it worked perfectly. I did not agree with the pushback either. So I was here for the Burning Hammer spot and Cody kicking out at one. I did not expect it, but it happened at the right time in the match to end the match on a high note. And I'm glad that your kids reacted accordingly to say, oh my God, a Burning Hammer is devastating. But then, oh God, Cody immediately kicks out and says, F your Burning Hammer. Let's just go. I'm fired up. Let's fight. Great energy down the stretch. Great match. And not opposed to either guy running it back down the road. Really excellent way to end a very strong PLE by WWE. And then before we get to Monday Night Raw, I want to talk about the King and Queen of the Ring tournament. So, Scott, you watch the show on a delay, correct?
Raw. Backlash. Yeah, Backlash.
Yes. Okay. So, did you catch the matches that were advertised for last night's episode of Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, I saw the full meal that they offered up.
Yes, and your reaction to that full meal as you saw the match combinations appear on your screen, Dragunov versus Ricochet, Kofi versus Rey, that's happening on the road this weekend, not on TV, because I was wondering how y'all was going to get 8 matches in on Monday Night Raw. I was thinking, how is that going to happen? And then we got the big one, Sheamus versus Gunther.
I got the big one, pause, but I was definitely, that was crazy. I mean, you said it first, but.
No, but the fact that you.
It was a crazy statement. So wild. Cameron and Mace would have kicked me off the air for that one. Listen, I'm not gonna lie to you though. The match I was really looking forward to seeing was Kofi versus Rey. Like I really wanted to see that because I don't even know if they've ever wrestled before. And if they have, I can't recall it. So I was really looking forward to seeing that match. And I was gonna say, of all the matches you could have put on the road, you had Ivy Nile right there, but it is what it is. I just Kofi versus Rey, you're not gonna put that on TV? That's a choice.
Yeah, I agree. And I was looking forward to it, and Kofi cuts a great promo during the show, like, why is this not on Monday Night Raw? No offense to Ivy Nile and Zoe Stark, but yeah, that was definitely choices. That was a moment we just experienced on the show. I did not expect Scott to double down with that level of confidence, but I'm going to leave that alone.
What confidence? Whatever. Listen. The only thing that's more confident than what I just said was Dominic Mysterio rocking that mustache. So,
oh my God.
So, you know, shout out to him because it takes a real man to do that.
Listen, Dominic Mysterio, the Spanish poppies coming out of him with the mullet and the stash. You know things are coming when those combinations come together. So I'm going to slide approximately 6 cheddar biscuits this way. So oh good for God. Him. Yeah, 6. 6.
That dude looked like a dirty Santos Escobar.
That's a compliment, actually.
Is it a dirty Santos
yes.
Escobar?
Yes, it is a dirty Santos Escobar, yes. Because Clean Cut Escobar gets 10 cheddar biscuits.
Oh, clean cut Escobar is fine wine dining.
Yes.
A dirty Santos Escobar is like a Golden Corral.
Wow. Wow. But not the Golden Corral. Like, not a buffet. Like,
absolutely.
No.
It's an all you can eat buffet.
No.
Everybody puts their hands in the fondue fountain.
No. No, 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 no. Like, Dom deserves a bit better than the Golden Corral.
Not with that mustache, he does it.
Okay, so speaking of that mustache, we kick off Monday Night Raw live in the XO Center in Hartford, Connecticut with the Judgment Day Damian Priest, Finn Balor, JD McDonough, and of course, mustachioed Dominic Mysterio. And
mustachioed Dominic Mysterio.
Has he a ring like to
he,
it.
He sounds like he should be in a bag you can go pick up at the store for $1.
Oh, wait. Why are you discounting Dom on that degree?
I rock with Dom. I rock with Dom. But if you're just going to sit on the sidelines and you're going to have that mustache, like this is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to get. So,
listen, that mustache has a personality all of its own. I couldn't stop staring at it. So I was like, okay, something's going on here. And we kick off the show with Damian Priest talking about his championship title defense and apologizing to JD McDonagh and Finn Balor for losing his cool after the championship match at Backlash in France this past Saturday. And they hug it out and it's all good. And Finn Balor's ready to become the king of the ring. But Drew McIntyre's out with an injury, so he thinks he's going to get a first round bye, but come to find out he will not be getting such a thing, as he will be facing the guy that faced Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship, a Backlash, in the form of main event. Jey Uso crowd goes crazy. Now, the American crowd in Hartford, Connecticut did not understand the assignment of the flashlights and the vibe check. The WWE production crew tried to turn off the lights. Let's get the fireflies going. Everybody failed the assignment. The vibe was not as strong. Y'all got to get on point with that if y'all trying to get this to resonate nationwide. I'm just saying. Get information.
So I don't think it would have been that bad if we just didn't see the flooding that we saw the night before. Because I thought the entrance was all right. Like, it was all right. You know, that you could still hear them. You could still see the hands moving. You know, like why wouldn't you have Pat McAfee though? Is like stand up on the table and put his phone up.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you just have Pat McAfee just stand up on the table, put the light on his phone, and just and tell the crowd, yo, let's go, get up. Like that's Pat. And it would fit right with his character. It would fit right in line. I mean, they already talking about yeeting all over the place. So you can't tell me he couldn't just stand up and yeet all over the place with his phone out.
To be the guy to lead everybody into doing it, that was weird. Like, they're going to get it together, but like, Lord, like, we fill the assignment here in Hartford. Like, dude, oh my goodness. And they cut the lights.
They didn't fail.
They failed.
We've seen some failures.
They failed the assignment, Scott.
Ooh.
There was 10 lights on in the building, 10. They cut the lights off. They dimmed the lights for this effect, and 10 people participated. Though. Yes, they WWE said, oh, we're going to just cut the lights back on. If you got 10 lights on, cut the lights back on. And let's just vibe with Pat on the table.
Well, that's just, yeah. I don't think it was that bad, but as far as the light show goes, yeah, there definitely wasn't enough fireflies. But I do appreciate the fact that they were still hot for it and they were still vibing for it.
Yes,
especially coming from Hartford.
Why you got to say it?
I mean, like, it's Connecticut. Like, Connecticut. A lot of great things. Nothing. You can't name me 5 great things that came out of Connecticut. There you go.
Connecticut Huskies basketball is one.
Okay, UConn. That's cool. But that embodies everything with UConn. So all the players, George.
Yes.
So good. I'm glad you scooped all that up.
Gino, Paige, all of them.
Yeah, all that. All that.
All
Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi.
Yes, all of them. All of them.
Yeah, okay.
Also, WWE's based in Connecticut, so that helps too. That's two things. I'm trying
Vince
to think.
Vince McMahon's home base, so I guess that's a good thing.
Well, forget him.
So there's that. So we're not, we can't give you that one.
Forget him. We just say like the company itself.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Shout out to the big title that sits out front. Everybody loves to see that. So that's two.
That's two.
Give me three more.
High income median.
Right. Shout out to the Connecticut Suns. Right. No. What are they? The Connecticut. Not the Suns. The. What's the WNBA team?
I don't know.
The Connecticut, I was gonna say Fever, but that's Indiana. What is the Connecticut team? Are they the Suns? Is it the Connecticut Sun?
I don't know.
Let me look it up real quick. That's all right. They're all right.
Okay, that's four things.
So that, but that, I'm not giving you the headquarters though. You don't get the headquarters.
Well, I said nice income median. They rich people live in Connecticut.
Rich people live in Virginia. But I ain't hyping Virginia. I can't tell you five good things for Virginia.
Okay.
You could probably get three.
Mm.
Shout out to, well, can't even name artists off top because there's something wrong with them. I was going to say Trey Songz, but don't even get me started with that guy.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there. Okay, so we've run out of things to talk about when it comes to Connecticut. So let's get to Jay versus Finn Balor, round one of the King of the Ring tournament 2024. Very good match. The crowd was into it for the most part. Both guys put in a lot of effort to make this match great. I love the exchange by both guys. You know, Jay is so over and he captivates the crowd. And Drew McIntyre is going to slink his way to ringside to watch the fallout because he hates Jay for taking another opportunity from him. That distraction leads to Finn Balor going for a roll-up attempt, but ultimately it goes to Jay landing a spear on Finn Balor to get the win to advance to the next round of the King of the Ring tournament. And I am happy about that. As Drew McIntyre sulks, he gets mad at Adam Pearce because he doesn't want to be like a punk, like CM Punk, who doesn't fight through his injuries. He wants to fight through the injury. He wants to man up, but he wasn't medically cleared. So Drew drives away. And then CM Punk pulls up to the building. He walks down to the ring, cuts a promo. And I have read feedback on Twitter from the people that some fans did not like this promo very much. It was kind of like long in the tooth, kind of didn't go anywhere very much. He kept checking his watch to see if Drew would make his way back to the building. So it was kind of so-so. But I will say this, that thanks to the beauty of the internet, the Public Enemies podcast, someone that I follow a lot on social media when it comes to all things WWE and pop culture, they incorporated, because if y'all haven't been keeping up and following the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef, the diss track battle going on for the last week or so, Kendrick dropped Meet the Grams a few days ago, and it was just an ether on Drake and his entire family. They dropped the beat to Punk's promo, and the flow and the beat, if that was on TV, perfection. It made the promo better. And Roll Time, not so much, but add that Kendrick beat. Oh, Punk was flowing on the beat during the promo. Very impressive.
I'm still Team Drake, by the way. But Kendrick maybe bar for bar better, but I'm a vibe to a Drake song over a Kendrick song any day of the week, just about. So, especially when Drake rapping. Now he rapping, you know? But we won't get into the fact that Drake's like, all right, I'm tired of this. I'm done. What's next? Because he's ready to move on. And Kendrick's like, oh, I'm coming for bodies.
Yes.
I'm coming for your family. Drake's like, dude, I just wanted to make some money, man. We good. Like, I'm out of songs, bro. We done traded like six songs in the last 6 hours. I got to go to bed.
Kendrick said, I got five more.
Yeah,
five more.
Kendrick,
listen, he got like a whole ass shaking track to a Drake diss track that is too damn catchy. I am sorry.
Yeah, this is a good battle for rap. Cole was like, yeah, I'm good. Let me wash my hands.
Yes, he left the chat immediately with good reason.
Left the chat. That boy said, I left the chat and threw my phone away. I ain't even gonna pick my phone back up until this is over. You know, I'm really, really looking forward to Finn Balor circling back to this whole thing. Finn Balor, I hope this whole thing leads to him getting a little bit more spotlight, because I think Finn Balor is in that spot where I had Kevin Owens a couple of years ago, where he is just so valuable and that you can do literally anything with him. You can put him against anybody. Like, I was looking forward to the match with him and Drew to see how they position him. Do they make him the baby face? Do they make Drew the baby face in the match? But even this one with Jay, like, he knows his role. He knows the assignment, and he knocks it out the park. He's got such great presence. He's able to feed off the crowd. And I just thoroughly enjoy Finn Balor and just wanted to get that man some flowers.
He's great. he's a vet out there and he doesn't miss ever. And he still got it. That is another guy that I have admired for a very long time. And he's basically doing some great work at this stage in his career and just a great ring general. Total respect for him. And Jay was really good as well. I'm looking forward to who he faces in the next round, which you found out during Monday Night Raw. And I'm looking forward to that battle, to say the least. But I do want to get to a match that Scott alluded to earlier that he said could have been on the live event circuit on a Saturday night, which was Ivy Nile versus Zoe Stark in the first round match of the Queen of the Ring tournament. And I agree, you know, both matches, I'm just going to skip ahead right now to Dakota Kai, who's filling in for Asuka versus Lyra Valkyria. Lyra advances as well, but both matches felt cold because there's no emotional connection to anyone right now. Everyone's kind of cold. Zoe hasn't been on TV lately. Ivy now, you know, has her moments, but she's not over with the crowd. Lyra is fresh out the box from NXT. Dakota Kai is just now coming back from injury as a part of Damage Control. And I just felt like these were two really cold matches that didn't resonate. And that is something that WWE has to work on to really build up the heat for these ladies, give them personality profiles, give them something meaningful to do in terms of cutting promos, and give them a personality that stands out. Throw in matches on TV, even though it's a tournament with a purpose, the characters right now don't have a defined purpose and a reason for fans to care at this point.
Not even the characters, it's just the match quality. You know, especially when you put a card out like that and you're going to have Dragunov and Ricochet, Sheamus, Gunther, even an Io Sky versus Natalya. You're going to have matches like that on the card. You know, I just don't feel like you should be following that up. And I don't mean it as a disrespect. I just mean, you know, don't put them in that position to where they have to, you know, follow a Dragunov versus Ricochet. You know, you don't want to put them in that type of position like that. So, I know sometimes you got to throw them to the wolves and see what happens. And that's the only way you come out the diamond is to throw the coal into the fire. But just be careful about that. Cause you don't want to set somebody up. And then their first, especially in today's meme, internet community where they, you know, nothing is forgotten. So I just want to be careful about protecting some of these women out here, especially women with a great look like an Ivy Nile who you can do something with down the road.
For sure. And the aforementioned Io Sky and Natalya match, that match was so good. Natalya is reminding people, don't forget about me. Put some respect in my name. I come out here. I put in that work. Io Sky is obviously amazing. Crowd cared about this match. It was good to see. Work rate was excellent. It was a really, really, really good match. Physical, bruising, slight interference. We had Io Sky counter a move by Natalya, slam her into the turnbuckle, hit the moonsault for the victory. Really strong opening match for the tournament as Io Sky moves on to round two.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the match. I thought Io Sky, good bounce back win for Io Sky, especially. She could use that. And Natalya, like what you said, Natalya just reminding people, you know, of who she is and, you know, of what she brings to the table and that lineage that she has. You know, 5-6 years ago, she was, you would consider her one of the best people in WWE as far as bell to bell. Now, maybe not so much. And that's not a knock on her or a drop off as far as she goes. That's just where the women are and the caliber of women that we have in WWE. But this was a good reminder that you put her in there with a top tier talent like a Io Sky, she can make magic happen.
Sure did. And she did last night, and the people were with it. And that's the most important thing. They love the competitiveness of this match. And I thought that it was a nice bounce back for Io Sky as well after losing the women's championship to Bayley at WrestleMania. And she's in prime position to go for a long run in this tournament to be crowned queen of the ring as we get to a first ever matchup between Ricochet and Ilya Dragunov. This match was excellent. Both guys went out there and put on a show. Ricochet says, listen, I heard about the Mad Dragon's reputation. here is my reputation. I'm going to go out here and put on a show. He did so. These guys went back and forth, and it was a really fun match. Ricochet was flying all over the ring, and then Dragunov cut him off by just being Dragunov, just being that bully out there, bruising up Ricochet, taking him down a peg or two, and then hits the H-bomb for the victory after he counters with Ricochet's spot off the top rope. Both guys were exceptional, mutual respect at the end, and night one of Ilya officially being on the main roster was a good one. And in due time, this man's work rate is going to resonate with the people because it just cannot be denied. This match was great. First ever matchup, Clash of Styles was perfect. Everything about this match hit, instant show stealer for the evening.
Yeah, this was a great way to, you know, I know Dragunov's had a match on Raw before, but this is a great way to introduce him as far as getting a good, great match out of him. And what's crazy is you didn't even really see a lot of what he brings to the table because, you know, as good as he is working on top, you know, as being, you know, kind of the strong man tossing people around, when you finally get him in the ring with somebody bigger than him, like when he gets in the ring with somebody like a Braun Strowman, whenever they let Dijak free, Gunther, because that's going to happen, a Sheamus, guys who are bigger than him, Damian Priest, who can toss him around and he can really fight from underneath and you can see the sell and he can sell that emotion on his face. Like you got a little bit of it at the end when he hit that H-bomb. I'm sorry, when he hit that superplex and, you know, he busted himself open essentially. And you could see it in his face then. Almost, it almost like woke him up to having that NXT energy again. But the match was great. Ricochet has, you could tell Ricochet is one of Triple H's favorite wrestlers because he gives him time. He's given him so much more opportunity to get over in a way that Ricochet can, and that's in the ring. And it's not to say that, I mean, he's not a great promo, but in the ring is where he's going to get over and where he can tell whatever story and whatever he needs to convey. And he's been able to do that. And I think Ricochet has gotten more over in these last couple months in ring, just being him and doing him. And the camera shots that they're doing for Ricochet are helping out, like that dive over the top rope with the camera angle of from the overhead with him hitting it. And it's just... This was a great, I know we're still talking, I know we talk about it every week, but this to me just is a great representation of what the new era of Monday Night Raw is going to be. Like, this is what I expect weekly, as far as there should be at least one match of this caliber on Raw on a 3-hour show every week. So I love this. I thought this was a great, great match, and it's going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, and we got multiples of matches like this last night. I think this is what Triple H wanted last year, and then it was kind of shot down by the devil. And this is his vision of a tournament to be taken seriously. I even expect a fancy crown and scepter for the winners. It's not going to be some Party City stuff. It's going to be something taken very seriously. This is going to be a prestigious victory to be king and or queen of the ring. The tournament, when they released the brackets and the matchups for Raw, I was like, holy shit, this is like pay-per-view quality, PLE quality on free television. And we had Ricochet and Dragunov go out there, put on a show. The camera angles for the dive on the outside by Ricochet to Dragunov was amazing. And Ricochet is beloved by Triple H, obviously. And he's been given so much television time to cook recently. And you can see why. When he's unleashed, this guy is outstanding. And he had an exceptional match against Dragunov. And this is just a glimpse into Dragunov's greatness. We have not seen the clip completely unloaded just yet, and that'll come down the pike for later rounds of this tournament. But great match between Ricochet and Dragunov as we get to Bronson Reed versus Chad Gable. It's a heel versus heel matchup after what's been happening recently surrounding Sami Zayn and the Intercontinental Championship. And Sami Zayn comes out and he draws a DQ, a disqualification, by going after Gable and Bronson Reed. And then Chad Gable takes out Sami Zayn. And then Bronson Reed takes out Chad Gable and Sami Zayn. So I think it's leading to a triple threat for the Intercontinental Championship, possibly maybe at King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia in a few weeks.
You mean King and Queen of the Ring in Wakanda?
Okay. I caught that because I saw the poster and there was no mistake. There was no mistake.
And, you know, we will talk about, like, they put people's faces where the characters were. So clearly Cody Rhodes is Black Panther. He's T'Challa. And what got me was Killmonger. They got Logan Paul up there in the Killmonger spot, sitting real comfy right there. And I'm like, y'all got this villain. Y'all got Logan Paul as the Michael B. Jordan of the WWE universe. But you know what? I was thinking I wouldn't be mad at a Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul title match at that pay-per-view. I was thinking about it, but that's just lazy. This is a short, simple, effective. Should be a great triple threat match between the three. Looking forward to Chad Gable hitting a Chaos Theory onto Bronson Reed. That should be fantastic. I would love for Reed to win the title. I know it's you know, you don't, you're not, I know people aren't a big fan of short title reigns, but I think Sammy got what he needed to. He got the big moment. I'd give it to Bronson, but I know they're not. But the triple threat would be real good.
Yes, for sure. I don't see a title change just yet, but it should be a very good match when it goes down at the PLE in a few weeks. I do want to get into the Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan promo exchange ever so briefly. It was nothing really much to it, but the one thing I did catch from Liv Morgan was her emphasis of, I am going to take everything that belonged to Rhea Ripley. And that probably includes dirty, mustachioed Mysterio.
Yeah. You know, that's fine. The segment was fine. The beatdown was fine. Or the ambush was fine. You know, Liv in the black leather, and everybody could see it a mile away. I thought she was going to whack her in the back of the head, but the rollout was cool too. So yeah, it was fine. It's just, you know, Dominic Mysterio, man, like, this man gonna go from Rhea Ripley to Liv Morgan. That's you go from being dominated to going with somebody who enjoys the pain. So, you know, that's a heck of a street you got to cross right there. You know, you go from being the one to take the pain, so now you got to flip the script and give the pain. So it's he's probably like, yeah, I got a lot of built up tension being with mommy. Come here, Liv. You know, so.
Oh my God.
It is what it is. You know, he's probably got a ladder and some tables in his house that he throws Liv through before they start. You know, that's the fourth.
God.
Segment was fine.
It was. The visuals you just put in my head is so wrong. That is going to be some very kinky foreplay, and Dominic is going to have a time whenever that time comes. And you know, that's why he's growing the mustache right now. He's entering this Latin poppy era, and he's going to be aligned with Liv Morgan. She's going to take him from Judgment Day. And hell, she might take Judgment Day. She wants everything that Rhea Ripley had. And I think it's going to cause a fracture when Rhea comes back. And I think that her and Damian Priest are going to be baby faces. And I do see a possibility of mixed tag matches between Liv and Dom and Rhea and Damian Priest. I do foresee that down the road, because I do believe that Liv will maneuver her way into Judgment Day and take everything that Rhea had. And she'll be the champion. And hell, if that's the case, then she's the leader by calling the shots when that time comes.
Yeah, you could see, and we could possibly be seeing seeds of that with Carlito. Dom bringing Carlito in, saying he needs help, and, you know, the history with him and Damian from last year. Dominic Mysterio's also got a little bit of ties to Legado del Fantasma. So there are ways that they can splinter this off. And you know, Finn, and maybe that was the reason we had the reconciliation with Finn and JD, and even the little moments of Damian be like, you know, JD, you know what? I haven't always seen eye to eye with you, but I appreciate you. And Finn, you my brother and stuff. And that's why maybe Dom was the last one on the outside of the hug. You know, so all of that could be very foretelling of what's to come, because those three, you could tell, Damian, Finn, and JD, that was a real thing that they had, and Dom kind of felt left out. So that could be very telling of what's to come.
Yes, lots of layers being built for this Judgment Day splinter, and I'm here for the slow burn. So it's very good so far. Looking forward to how it all unfolds in the weeks to come when Liv goes up against Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship at the King and the Queen of, at the King and Queen of the Ring PLE going down live in Saudi Arabia in a few weeks time on Peacock by way of Wakanda, according to Scott. As we now get to our main event of Monday Night Raw, a rematch over a year in the making, it is Gunther versus Sheamus in the first round of the King of the Ring tournament. This match was not for the faint of heart. At one point in this match, Gunther legit hit Sheamus so hard, his handprint landed on Sheamus's back. Sheamus's chest was lit up with chops. Gunther had a little bit of blood coming off his chest. This was a violent, bruising battle. Two guys that always go out there and they put on a wrestling clinic. It's gnarly, it's violent, and it's beautiful. And Sheamus, you know, he came back early. He wasn't in the best shape. He admitted that, and fans kind of body shamed him. That was incorporated in the storyline. The packs are packing slowly but surely. He looks great, and he put in a great performance against Gunther, who is by far one of the very best in WWE, if not the world, who goes out there and just whoops ass with reckless abandon. And he will beat you in 10 different ways. Goes after the knee that Ludwig Kaiser went after early on in this match, and the referee caught him and got him thrown out from ringside, and it came back to bite Sheamus because he hits the bro kick after the knee strike, and he's slow taking the cover on Gunther, and Gunther is going to go after that knee, lock in a half Boston crab, and make Sheamus submit as he moves on to the next round of the King of the Ring tournament to face the winner of Kofi Kingston and Rey Mysterio, which will happen on the road this weekend for WWE. And we have Ilya Dragunov versus Jey Uso, which might be, and Jey's had some great matches in his career, might be the most defining singles match of his career so far in WWE against the Mad Dragon next Monday on Monday Night Raw.
Jey Uso going to get the hell beat out of him next week. I don't expect that match to be. I think that match is going to be very similar to the him and Trick Williams. That's what I'm expecting with him and Jey. They're just going to beat the piss out of each other. We're getting Dragunov versus Gunther for the Raw side.
Yes,
to lead the Raw side as far as that goes. So I'm very excited to see what the SmackDown side is going to look like. Clearly, we're going to get some LA Knights. I could see them throwing an AJ Styles in there. AJ Styles versus Gunther would be great if that's where we're going. LA Knight versus Gunther would be fine, but I could definitely see them going for more of a work rate type thing. So, but this, as far as the main event goes, this was a great match. Tongaloa definitely doesn't belong in these two's category. Just a great main event, hard hitting. And this is what I was talking about. Like, you had Ivy Niles and Zoe Stark. And again, no disrespect, but even Shane, especially with Shayna Baszler and Zelina Vega right there, that's you, like your former queen of the ring didn't get the TV time. I got nitpicking me, but this match was great. I enjoyed the Dragunov Ricochet match just a little bit more, but this was another fine outing for Gunther, who continues to be the in-ring MVP of WWE without the title, main eventing Raw, closing it without the title. He has slowly become the main event of that show. You know, I know Damian Priest is the champion, is the face, Mommy's gone, CM Punk's the biggest name on the show, but Gunther is the final boss of that show. Like, he is the true final boss of Monday Night Raw. And, you know, the reason they're not having him go back after Sami is because they don't want him. He's not going to lose. So the Gunther, I love the presentation they've done with Gunther. I'm looking forward to, I'm assuming it'll probably be him versus Kofi since they've got a little story going on. But either way, that'll be a great match next week. And then we're eventually going to get that Gunther Dragunov match. And I hope they give them the entire last hour.
Yes. Give them like a good 40 minutes to go out there and put on a wrestling clinic, because they will go out there and put on a show. We have not seen that battle in a few years in WWE. They were a part of the final takeover for NXT before 2.0 way back in 2021. So let them run it back on the main roster. It'll be exceptional. You know, it's very rare to have really good matches of this caliber on Monday Night Raw. We had at least four on this night to kick off night one of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament. And I think it's a great concept. It's being taken seriously. And the matchups, I think that Triple H ain't scared to book outstanding matches. And he's not afraid to have people lose, you know, despite the name value. Like, everybody's not going to win their matches, and you just have to absorb the loss and move on. And there's no shame in losing. Like, Ricochet losing to Dragunov, no shame in that. Sheamus losing to Gunther, no shame in that. These guys go out there, put on a clinic, and they just happen to be better in that situation. But it does not negate the efforts from a Sheamus or Ricochet or a Natalya last night, or even a Finn Balor, because all of those matches were quality. I do question why we do not get to see Rey versus Kofi on television. It boggles my mind, but we move. Someone will film the footage and we will see it sometime this weekend. I will wonder why it was not broadcast on TV for everyone to see, but I digress.
Honestly, that would be, if I was WWE, that would be main event for me. I would film those two matches and I would put those matches on main event. I think that's an easy way to fill some time, add some little extra content to the Peacock. But I appreciate the renewed focus on the King of the Ring. You can tell it means something to Triple H, and I appreciate that. This is a good first night for that. I'm looking forward to the SmackDown side, and this is a really good Raw. Went by quick.
Yes, it did. Nice, easy breezy Monday Night Raw. I checked my clock. I said, oh my God, it's 10:13 already. Show was a breeze. Good matches tend to do that as the show breezes by in 3 hours. And I see a slight overrun back ending the show like 11:01-ish. So maybe not a permanent thing, but I do see that little overrun ticking back up a little bit for WWE. But overall, a very good show to kick off what promises to be a very fun tournament for WWE over the next couple of weeks. We put a bow on this week's wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. I want to thank my co-captain, Salty Scott Young, for joining me. But before we go, I forgot to ask you this. The final score for Backlash from a scale of 1 to 10 beignets.
Let me go with really enjoyable show. Only one real standout match, but just a thoroughly enjoyable show. So I'm gonna go with 7.5 beignets.
I'm gonna go 8 beignets out of 10. Atmosphere was great, really good matches throughout, and best part, it was under 3 hours. A bless
for sure. Yeah, yes. It's always nice to not have to stay up till 12 o'clock for these shows.
Yes, especially. Good way to kind of end the B shows on a high note at a reasonable hour, especially during the afternoon. And hopefully that applies during primetime PLEs. But we're not going to get one of those for a minute until Battleground for NXT next month in Las Vegas, which we'll cover right here on the Fight Game Media Network as well. But that is it for now. I want to thank my co-captain, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as we recap the week that was in WWE.
Thank you, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited for this King of the Ring tournament. I'm excited for Friday. The Trick Williams era continues on NXT. So, a lot of exciting things going on right now in WWE. And we'll be back next week to chop it up and talk about it.
Yes, we will resume the NXT Yakety Yak next Tuesday. Fresh episode there after spring break in is now in the books. Build up for Battleground begins. We're talking about SmackDown and how their round of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament goes there. We'll see the brackets hopefully before the end of the week, before SmackDown airs on Fox in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. So until then, for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE this week. We'll be back next Tuesday morning right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Until then, take care and bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.